I'm just doing this for the 15-minute pre-lock advice. I had to log in and reset my iTunes password for this. That's how much I want it. Every day I want these pre-lock clips. I use this pod for initial lineup builds. Better than Roto Trash. Even though he never sleeps, DG is coherent and the advice is sound. Marginal sound effects. Add him on Twitter and retweet so I can get those flipping clips. Anecdote. When there's no pod, I lose. When there is, I win. I like to win. Well, thank you for that review, Tim Brandenston. But one thing. Marginal sound effects? How dare you, marginal sound effects? I object to that. Where's my gavel? Where's my DJ? DJ, play my theme music. Let's start the show.
Court is now in session. Damn.
This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app. Your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, March 13th, 2017. Another week is here. But guys, we are hitting the home stretch of the NBA season. Some teams only have like 15, 16 games left. About a month of the regular season to go. Maybe a little bit more than that, but I think around a month, maybe 35 days until the playoffs hit. So, woo, we're the home stretch. If you're still playing NBA DFS, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, congrats. The fact that you made it this far is pretty impressive because it is a grind, and NBA DFS is hard. So as the season progresses, more and more people fall by the wayside. So if you are the one of the few still playing, one means you're probably making money, or two, you're just like maybe you have a gambling problem. Either way, I'm glad to have you. Welcome to the show, DG Courtroom. I'm your host. I'm the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Even though I know it's been a grind. It's a long season. The judge is here to help, hopefully help brighten your just a dreary Monday. Mondays suck. Also, in New York City, it's like 20 degrees, and it's going to be like 2 feet of snow tonight. So just dream killer, soul crusher, the New York City weather. Hopefully it's not as cold and the weather isn't horrific wherever you're listening to this podcast. But hopefully I have some entertaining things planned for you, not only this show, but for the rest of the season, because while other podcasts are going to put you to sleep, this show is going to finish strong. Gosh darn it. Then again, I said the words. And hearing the word sleep, man, it does make me – that does sound pretty good as it's 3:22 a.m. in the morning. But whatever. I will sleep whenever basketball ends, unless we decide to do baseball, which is also in the works. Oh, man, so many things going on. But before we start the show, please do three things for the judge. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Every day, I will open the show by reading one of the glorious reviews and ratings. I think over the weekend, I asked if you guys would do that, and at least a dozen of you came through for me. So every day, I will read a new one, and please make it clever, make it creative, make it something that the judge would enjoy. Although the marginal sound effects, how dare you? Although I did laugh, the reviews were actually pretty funny. So feel free to write a review. As long as you give it 5 stars, you can say whatever you want. Please do that. That's number one. Two, when I tweet out the episode, please retweet it out to the world. We got over 150,000 listens in February. We're trying to beat that in March, and March is tough because March is kind of a slow month where a lot of people, as I mentioned, are stop playing NBA DFS a little bit. And they're basically waiting until MLB starts, and then once MLB DFS starts, then DFS becomes bigger, and people start spending money again. But March can be a tough month, and it doesn't help with the weather so freaking bad in New York. I'll tell you that. So that's two. Number three, download the app Draft, and when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. If you do those three things, what are you? What are you? That's right, you are a dream lover. Don't be a dream killer. Be a dream lover for the judge. Remember, in terms of the retweets, I'm not sure if this is working or not, but I was saying if we get 100 retweets, then I will do like a 10-minute audio clip of my top plays around 6 p.m. Eastern each day. because as you guys know, a lot changes between now and I'm taping the podcast at 3:25 a.m. in the morning and tomorrow or Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern or Monday lineup lock. There's a lot of news. A lot of people will be resting, tanking, faking injury news. So if you guys do want me to, you know, do those little 5-10 minute audio clips, retweet the show. It's pretty easy. We get like 4,000-6,000 listens depending on the show, sometimes more. So 100 retweets, I think that's not a lot to ask, but I don't know. Maybe it is. But please retweet it out. Where else are we going on this show? So I get a lot of questions regarding NASCAR and why I'm always talking about NASCAR, either tweeting about NASCAR. First of all, I don't even talk about it that much. But there is a popular podcast. I will not mention who or where it is with a NASCAR expert. Who, by the way, who's a really good DFS player. But he doesn't know anything about NBA. I know for a fact he doesn't watch games at all, ever. Maybe you know, one or two a week. So anyway, he does an NBA DFS podcast. So if he gets to do an NBA DFS podcast, I think it's only fair that I should get to do some NASCAR picks on this podcast. However, since I only want the best for the listeners out there, all of you, I hired a NASCAR expert, this guy by the name of Rusty Walker, who someone recommended to me. So a little later in this show today, he's going to make his first DG Courtroom appearance. I'm pretty excited. I'm a little nervous, but he's going to make his first appearance. And he's going to give you his favorite DFS NASCAR value play. So I'm not sure what to expect. You know, it's who knows? I mean, this Rusty Walker guy is supposed to be like top notch. So I guess we'll see in a little bit. I think it's going to be about maybe 5-10 minutes from now, right after the Dream Killer, Dream Lover segment is when Rusty's going to try to come on. Look forward to that in a little bit. So let's jump right to Chambers. Now this is glorious. This is so beautiful. So as you guys know, we have Chambers on the app Draft. Remember, download it, use the promo code DFBPOD. If you can't find out where to put the promo code, let me know your username on the app. Just tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1 and let me know what your username is. So we have Chambers on Draft. We also run them every day on FanDuel and DraftKings. But we are also doing now a Judges Chambers in light of the NCAA tournament, which was the brackets and selections was released on Sunday night. My team, I'm from Wisconsin. I went to the University of Wisconsin, and we got a horrible 8 seed, although whatever. We stink anyway, so we'll probably lose. If we lost in the first round, I would not be surprised, even though I have a couple talented players, but whatever. I don't want to bore you with college basketball. And by the way, like, do you guys watch college basketball? Because I can't watch it. Like, I'll watch a couple of Wisconsin games, and that's about it. Like, the basketball, the level of play is just so bad that I stopped watching about 5-6 years ago. And I'll just watch my team, Wisconsin, and that's about it. And obviously the tournament I'll watch. Other than that, I mean, I have no idea. I mean, this Lorenzo Ball, Lauren Ball, whatever this guy from UCLA, I have no idea who's even going to be the number one pick in the draft. So at some point I probably should get to know that stuff. But speaking of the bracket and the selections were just released on Sunday night. I think it's only fitting we do a Judges Chambers, like a bracket style, kind of like the one that we have on the app Draft, but we'll do it on FanDuel or DraftKings. We'll do one on each. We'll have 64 spots on each if the demand is there. And the way that's going to work, so I'll basically be in charge of creating the bracket. And I'm not sure where I'm going to put the bracket up. If I might just have to tweet it out. Maybe I can finally unleash my new website and I'll put it there as well. But I'll be in charge of the bracket. I will create the seedings using the power rankings and all the data that I have from Chambers and on FanDuel and DraftKings. It's going to be a head-to-head style. So for instance, you know, I won't have stupid East, West, South, you know, Midwest or whatever the four regions are. I'll come up with some, you know, hopefully some pretty clever names for each region, and I will have the seeding, you know, obviously, like probably MG Fresh would be a one seed. Jeremy would be a one seed. I Am Legend would be a number one seed. Fucking Fit Fantasy would be a one or two seed. Oh, the judge would have to be a one seed in there. I have to play as well. So we'll have the one seed versus 16s in each bracket. But it's going to be head to head. And the winners will keep advancing until finally we get down to, you know, final four, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four, et cetera, et cetera. And hold on. I created a big show sheet for this to try to give you instructions, and now that browser was closed. All right, here it is. So, in order to get started, it might seem a little complicated, but it's not. I think we can figure out an easy way to do this. But first, so we need to figure out what who wants to participate. If you want to play in the judges' chambers, head-to-head, bracket style, in light of the NCAA tournament. So if you want to play, because the biggest issue for me in setting up the brackets is I don't know everyone's Twitter name and their username on either FanDuel or DraftKings. So I need you to do this. I created a special, unique Twitter handle called at DG Courtroom. Very easy, right? Yes, at DG Courtroom. So I want all of you to follow that Twitter handle and then tweet to that to the at DG Courtroom what chambers bracket you want to play, if you want to play in FanDuel or DraftKings. And then also I want you to tweet me within that same tweet, tweet me your username for obviously either FanDuel or DraftKings. So, you know, you would just send me one tweet and say, Judge, I want to play FanDuel. My username is Scorpio72. Or my name is or I want to play in DraftKings. My username is S47291. Very easy, right? That will get the ball rolling. That's how I'll figure out the demand. See how many people want to play. Hopefully we'll have enough for 64 spots. Now, once you do those three steps, follow DG Courtroom on Twitter, tweet what chambers bracket you want, FanDuel or DraftKings, and then tweet your username for either FanDuel or DraftKings. Then I will compile the bracket. I will use all the data I have from chambers to calculate the seedings. And like I said, I'll either tweet out the bracket and I'll put it on my website. This is how it's going to work in chart in terms of setting up each matchup. Pay attention, guys. The higher seed in each matchup will be responsible for creating a head-to-head contest. And don't give me this crap about, oh, it sounds so complicated. It's really easy to create a head-to-head contest. And at the end of the night, the winner of each matchup sends me a screenshot with the final score. And then I will update the bracket and so on and so on and so on. And so you have until Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, to follow those three steps that I outlined. You have Tuesday until 7 p.m. Eastern, because after that, that will basically give me like one day, or day and a half to compile the actual brackets, which I will need. So remember, you have Tuesday till 7 p.m. Eastern to do three things. Follow at DG Courtroom on Twitter, tweet what chambers bracket you want, FanDuel or DraftKings, and then tweet your username for either FanDuel or DraftKings. And that's it. And then leave the rest to me. And then once I tweet out the bracket, we will go from there. I will also explain this on tomorrow's show and Wednesday's show, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to try to have the schedule be the same as the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it starts on Thursday, and we're going to try to start our bracket on Thursday as well. So if you want to be a part of that, just follow those three steps and do it. It should be a ton of fun. Plus, this is a head-to-head. Now, Chambers every day, the one that we have on FanDuel and DraftKings, that's mostly much more of like a GPP-style tournament. So now we're going to get a little different of a skill. Who is the greatest player in the DFS land in head-to-head competition? So I'm very excited about this. This is going to be awesome. All right, in terms of the regular Chambers that we do every day, on Chambers for Sunday, we had two of them going on FanDuel. We had one on DraftKings. And if you're new to the show, why are you new to the show in March? Where have you been the last 4, 5, 6 months? How dare you? But welcome. The judge is happy to have you. Hopefully, if you're coming from RotoTrash, hopefully you're still awake. So what is Chambers, you may ask? Chambers is just a tournament that we run on basically every DFS site where the greatest players in the land compete against one another. So on FanDuel, we only had two on Sunday for FanDuel. Thal 0717 took first place in one with a score of 320. And then Yuhim BOI 23, who then tweeted me Michael Hall at Michael DeBeast. I think won his first Chambers of the year. So congrats to you two on FanDuel. On DraftKings, Chosen 13 took first place with a score of a 304. Cole 45 took second, and Australia 83 took third. So congrats to all you guys who played Chambers and also won money in Chambers. Sunday was a weird, funky slate. It was really high scoring because you had four. It was a 5-game slate, but four out of the 5 games had monster over unders, and then the one that didn't was Miami without Dragic against Indiana. That actually had some guys put up some big lines as well. So it was a high-scoring night. In terms of Dream – oh, sorry. Sometimes I get so excited to jump into Dream Killers and Dream Lovers that I forget to say, it is time for the Emmy Award-winning segment called Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. So for me, the two main Dream Killers were LeBron – who he's been playing great. he plays, when he plays 40 minutes a night, he leads the NBA in minutes. You knew he was going to come up short one night, and it happened tonight against Houston in a super fast-paced game. He was chalk. He was high-owned. Harden outplayed him, and LeBron only put up, what, 41 FanDuel points? Not nearly enough at his price tag because he was playing so well, so his price has skyrocketed. So he was a dream killer. Tyler Johnson, when Dragic went out, the two good plays for Miami were Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson. Both those guys weren't super high owned, but they were decently owned. And Tyler Johnson put up an absolute dud. I think he had 9 FanDuel points. So he was a soul crusher, an absolute just disgusting. Josh Richardson actually did pretty good. And what made Tyler Johnson even more of a soul crusher is at the exact same price, even I think $100 cheaper, was Jordan Clarkson and dream lover of the night. Jordan Clarkson put up over 50 FanDuel points, 50 DraftKings points, and he was in the key to every winning lineup. I think he was about 7% owned from what I saw in most tournaments. So, dream lover. Also, other dream killers, Uber. Do you guys use Uber out there? Maybe I should switch, not use Uber and use a different service, because I use Uber a lot, especially when if I'm with the bailiff out running errands. And oh, he looked at me while I mentioned his name, even though he was somewhat sleeping. All right, sorry, man, go to bed. So when I'm out running errands with the bailiff and it's super cold like it was today, so sometimes I'll get an Uber home because we'll walk far. And Uber, the bailiff's got to stay fit. So we do like a 2-3 mile walk. And then sometimes, you know, I Uber home for him because he's tired. French Bulldogs, I mean, they get tired pretty fast. So sometimes the Ubers will refuse to pick up a dog. So I'm freezing in the cold waiting for my Uber. The Uber comes up. We'll not take the bailiff. So another one comes. We'll not take the bailiff again. The second guy was like, oh, I'm allergic to dogs. He was not allergic to dogs. So I'm going to report that mother effort to Uber. Meanwhile, I'm standing out in the freezing cold for like a half hour, probably going to get sick because of it. Ended up seeing like Dwayne Reed for an hour or so before I could finally get home. And it caused me to like be late. I didn't even get home till like 6:45 Eastern, or when lineup lock, I think, was at 7. Or no, I think I got home at 5:45 Eastern because lineup lock on Sunday was at 6 p.m. So I was like barely able to even play on this slate. So Uber is a big-time dream killer, soul crusher for me. Also, New York City weather, which I already mentioned, was like 2 feet of snow coming, which is disgusting. Another dream lover is this – by the way, so I mentioned on, I think, last week's podcast, I bought a PlayStation 4 – and I bought the game of Dawn of Horizon, this role-playing game. It's a dream lover. It's pretty sweet. I mean, I have no time to do anything, but I got to tell you, man, I played maybe like 2-3 hours so far. The graphics are amazing. The gameplay is really good. The fight scenes, the combat scenes are pretty exciting. So far, a dream lover. 2 thumbs up from the judge. All right. Let's dive a little bit more into each of the games, though. Shall we? And I'm not going to talk too much about this Bulls-Celtics game because that was not on the main slate. And thank God it wasn't, because I would spend an hour just going nuts. Since Wade is my favorite player, like him going to Chicago has been an absolute nightmare. And the Bulls are a joke. Hoiberg plays 11, 12 people. Mirotić, who should be starting for them, is the only guy who doesn't even play. Jimmy Butler, I mean, I don't want to call him a tin man, but I don't know what the hell he's doing because he hasn't been trying the last week. I'm not sure. I know I've heard rumblings he's dealing with like a heel issue, but the Bulls are just an absolute disaster. They are a soul crusher for sure. So first game is Knicks versus the Nets. I mean, the Knicks are so freaking bad. They lost to the Nets. The Nets have 12 wins. The Nets are 12-53. So, of course, they beat the Knicks. That's how embarrassing. Yeah, good job, Carmelo. Good move not waving your no-trade clause. What an idiot. Hope you have fun in this 2 feet of snow we're going to get today in New York. By the way, Melo was okay, actually. Took 26 freaking shots. I am getting curious. Now, the Knicks are basically already out of playoff contention. Once they are officially, though, are they going to shut Melo down? And the Bulls, if the Bulls are falling so fast, are they going to shut Wade down? If they do, some of those guys, the young guys, are going to get lots of minutes. For DFS purposes, it would be a lot of fun. Would not surprise me if either or both those guys get shut down at some point. Melo took, 26 freaking shots. I mean, he was basically better than LeBron for his salary. 10 for 26 from the floor, 27 points, 3 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 block. Sucks in real life, but in DFS, if you take 26 shots, yeah, you can do some things. Porzingis was so chalk. He was over 50% owned. pretty amazing, but that's what playing Brooklyn will do to you and a small slate will do to you, right? So he was a dream lover for sure. He was in, I think, almost every winning lineup. 34 minutes, 7 for 16 from the floor, 19 points, 5 blocks, 10 rebounds. I mean, instead of Melo taking 26 shots, just imagine Melo – imagine a glorious universe without Carmelo and Porzingis is taking all the shots. Oh, it would be so beautiful. Also, the criminal himself, Derrick Rose, took 15 shots. Go figure. He had like 30 Fando points. He got close to hitting value. He was a better play than Tyler freaking Johnson, 5 for 15 because he stinks in real life as well. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. So he's stumbling, bumbling, fumbles his way to value almost every night. I wish the Bulls would shut him down too, and play some young guys like my boy Justin Holiday. But for the Knicks, it was basically just Rose was okay, and Porzingis was excellent, and Melo was good. Courtney Lee, I guess Courtney Lee was still okay too. He's playing so many minutes, 39 minutes again for Courtney Lee. At some point, again, once teams fall out of playoff contention, there's no reason the Knicks would have to give Courtney frickin' Lee 39 minutes, but I guess until they get officially eliminated, that's what they're going to do. So if he's still getting 39 minutes, he's fine for cash games, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. You know, it's Courtney Lee, so don't get crazy with it. That's about it for the Knicks. On the Brooklyn side, I'm honestly, I would, if anyone out there, can anyone in the universe explain to me Coach Atkinson's rotation? Anyone? I try to get on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. We have people do a Brooklyn podcast, a Brooklyn Nets podcast. I think they're trying to avoid me. They don't want to be interrogated by the judge. If you want to tweet at them, go ahead. I think they're called at the Glue Guys or something like that. I need to follow up with them again because I would love to have them on the show. I don't get why are you not giving your only two good young guys, LeVert and Hollis Jefferson, 30 minutes every night. It should be a given. Those two struggle to get 20 minutes. Tonight was actually amazing because I got 24 for Hollis Jefferson, 26 for LeVert. That's the best you can hope for. But why are you still giving Din Doodle, Spin My Little, 28 minutes, Whitehead, Blackhead, Yellowhead, 26 minutes, you know, Quincy freaking AC, 19 minutes. I mean, 10 guys, it's equal opportunity minutes for everyone. Everyone gets the same amount of minutes. It's all not a lot. It's like 20 to 22 minutes or whatever. It's just disgusting. I'm so sick of the entire Nets team. I don't ever want to play them. If you play Brook Lopez or whatever, he started out the game on fire. He hit like his first 5 threes or something like that. He made 6 3-pointers. He had 25 points, 6 rebounds because he's allergic to rebounding. Hollis Jefferson was actually good. I think I saw him in some winning lineups. If you watch Hollis Jefferson play, he's really good. But he just doesn't get enough minutes. 14 points, 11 rebounds in only 24 minutes, only 8 shots. LeVert, only 4 shots, 4 for 4. 13 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. Look, those guys fill up the stat sheet. It's mind-boggling. I just don't get it. They do not have a draft pick. So why are they not playing minutes? And by the way, Jeremy Lin, he was super chalked today. The highest owned I've seen him all year, and he basically crapped the bed. He got 27 minutes. He ended up coming through. Yeah, he got like 27 Fando points, and I think he said the first half he was in single digits. So the fact he ended up with like 27, that was a minor miracle in itself. So he was okay and didn't kill your lineups. He had 13 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. The good thing was he took 14 shots. He just only made 3. So going forward, I mean, he's the one guy you would think would get 30 minutes at some point. But Coach Atkinson is just – he's crazy. He's literally insane. It's a Miami-Indiana game. So every other game had an over-under of over 220, and this one had an over-under of 200. And basically that's what it was. It was like a 200 over under. Whiteside was excellent. He was a dream lover for sure. 26 points, 21 rebounds. He was in almost every winning GPP lineup I saw as well. And Deion Waiters was good as well. With Dragic out, he became like the pseudo facto point guard, which is disgusting. I just hate him because he basically replaced Wade, and he's been better than Wade this year, which is just – the fact that I have to utter that sentence makes me want to hit myself with my own gavel. But he was good, 20 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. Other than that, Josh Richardson played 37 minutes. You know, all year long he's kind of teased us. He's never really put up one time he's put up a big line. The minutes were there, that's for sure, but usage was not. Only 7 shots, 2 of 7, 9 points, 3 steals, 8 rebounds. I think he got like 24 Fando points or something like that. So he was okay at his price tag. Tyler Johnson was a mess. Shot 1 of 9 from the floor, 25 points, 2 points, 5 assists, soul crusher for sure. For Indiana, I tried to play Thaddeus Young, and he got 38 minutes. He was like 4.8K. He was so dirt cheap, and I knew he was going to be about 2% owned, which he was. Only 13 points, 5 rebounds, one assist. I needed him to stumble and bumble and fumble into a couple more stats, and he just didn't do it. But the minutes were beautiful. Paul George was pretty good for him, 28 points, 10 rebounds. The problem is, like, whatever. That's, like, barely hitting value. And that's about as good as he can play right now. Miles Turner started off the game really good, and then just kind of, like, I don't know what he happened in the second half, didn't do much. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. He's been really tough to play lately. And so is Jeff Teague. I mean, everything on Teague is just trending in the wrong direction. The minutes, the usage, 31 minutes, 4 for 11 from the floor, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, the thing with Indiana right now, like guys like Stuckey, even Monte Ellis, their second unit comes in and they handle the ball a lot. So, you know, yeah. That game sucked, though, basically. Let's see. Portland-Phoenix. Portland won 110 to 101. Nice little game here. I got to say, I mean, as much as I make fun of Dame Judy Dench-Lillard, since All-Star break, he's been pretty excellent almost every game. So I don't know if he was tired, if he was hurt. I'm not sure what was going on, but he's been good. 38 minutes, 13 for 26 from the floor, 39 points, 6 rebounds, only 2 assists, which is he was a dream lover, but still, if he could have had like, just like 6-7 assists, he could have a monster line. I think he was still close to 50 fandom points. So he was excellent, though. CJ McCollum was good again, 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Nurkic was his just consistent, really good self. 12 points, 11 rebounds, only 2 assists, 3 blocks, though. Just a walking double-double. Mo Harkless was not good, 22 minutes, 2 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. So if you played him, you probably were a little pissed. And that's about it. Aminu is one of those guys who somehow always finds a way to get there. 30 minutes, 9 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He plays a lot of the 4, so he gets rebounds. It's one thing he can do really well. For Phoenix, this is the first day that TJ Warren hurt me since the All-Star break. So I played some TJ Warren because I knew he'd be low-owned, and he crapped the bed on me. 34 minutes, only 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. At his price, that wasn't enough today. Bledsoe's minutes have been consistently like only in like the low 30s, which is a little disturbing, and he did not shoot well at all. 7 for 21 from the floor, 19 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Devin Booker, monster game for him. 13 for 26, 41 minutes, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Marquise Chris, dream killer, 8 points, 6 rebounds for him. Off the bench, Big Sauce Williams, again, he's like Nurkic. Not as good as Nurkic, but he's like a double-double every night as well. 12 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He's a really good cash game play at his price right now. That's it for the Phoenix guys. Cleveland-Houston. So, really, the only guy for Cleveland, I actually saw, which sickens me, Richard Jefferson in some winning lineups. He's dirt cheap, and he had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. He only took 6 shots, but he made all 6, and he was 4 for 4 from 3-point range. It's hard to figure out between him and Channing Frye who's going to get the minutes, because they basically play – Ty Lue plays them matchup-based. So Jefferson got 31 minutes. Channing Frye only got 14. So if you played some French fries, you probably they were stale French fries on this slate. Other than that, though, Kyrie Irving and LeBron, I mean, they basically take every game 42, 44 shots and out of the team's 80. So LeBron was 12 of 20. Kyrie was 10 of 23. Kyrie – I don't know if he was a dream lover or a dream killer. He was neutral. I think he was close to hitting value. He had 28 points, 8 assists, 2 blocks. So he was for his price, he was good. LeBron, though, just didn't do enough. 30 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. The thing that really hurt him in terms of DFS was 8 turnovers. So that's losing 8 freaking points. Just not good enough for LeBron tonight. And for Houston, Cheeto faced Harden. James Harden put up over 65 Fando points. He was in a lot of winning GB lineups, so he was a dream lover. He was stuffing his face in Cheetos, and I'm pretty sure I saw one come out of his beard as he was taking a three. 13 for 28 from the floor, 4 of 14 from 3-point range, 38 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. So good job, Cheeto face. Other than that, no one else really stood out for Houston. Yeah, I mean, no one really did. Lou Williams only got 15 minutes, so can't really play him anymore these days. Ryan Anderson, I guess, was okay. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 4 3-pointers. Trevor Ariza does nothing, plays 39 minutes and does nothing with it every freaking game. Last game of the night, Philly Lakers. So this was a really fun game to watch. I tweeted out a play late in this game with about 30 seconds left. Lakers were down 1. And by the way, these teams are really close in terms of the standings. Lakers had going into tonight had 20 wins and Philly had 23. So and the Lakers have a lottery pick, but it's only top three protected. So they basically have to finish with a worse record than the Philly. This was an important game for the Lakers to lose, and they made sure they did. They were down by 1 with 30 seconds to go, coming out of a freaking timeout. Number 2 overall pick in the draft, D'Angelo Russell, who was, by the way, a major dream killer. He was 50% owned on this slate and put up an absolute dud. Shot 5 of 17, only 11 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. But I digress. So Lakers coming out of a timeout, down 1. Russell is taking out the ball. He gets the ball back. But there's only like 5 seconds on the shot clock. Surely in the timeout, Luke Walton would have drawn up a play. And the first thing he would have said, guys, we have 5 seconds on the shot clock. So I'm going to drop a really fast play to run so we get up a shot. D'Angelo Russell gets the ball. He inbounds it, gets it right back. And then nonchalantly dribbles out by the 3-point line. Kind of looks up and says, oh, wow, maybe the shot clock's winding down? Oh, and then with, 0.1 second left, takes, an off-balance 3-pointer air ball. Basically, if he was tanking it, I guess you could say that's the right move by them to lose that game. But if Luke Walton really did call a play, and D'Angelo Russell, forgot there was 5 seconds on the shot clock and wasn't paying attention in the huddle, I would say that's an issue. Would you want a guy on your team who's that aloof and that just his basketball IQ is that poor, with 30 seconds to go, down 1 in an NBA game? So just painful. So he was a double dream killer, unless you wanted the Lakers to lose. But it was such a bizarre play if you were watching that game. Things to note in this game, the Lakers finally benched Nick Young. Thank God. He played 0 minutes. So he went from starting every game to getting benched and playing 0 minutes. They started Dean Nwaba, but he only played 16 minutes. Really, the starter looks from here on out is going to be Jordan Clarkson. I don't care if he's not starting. He's going to get the minutes. He got 34 minutes in this game, and he was tremendous. 10 for 16 from the floor, 30 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, and 50 Fanduel points. And he won you a car if you played him. So congrats if you played him. Randall was really good as well. 8 for 18 from the floor, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 34 minutes. Ingram got his 38 minutes and did just about nothing with it like he always does, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 2 blocks. So at least he stumbled and bumbled into some value. He wasn't great, but he's still dirt cheap. And if he's still going to get that many minutes, you would think there's going to be 1 or 2 games where he's going to get some shots and put up some decent lines. You know, he hit value, and that's only getting 3 rebounds and 1 assist. God forbid he was stumbling into some rebounds. He could get a 30 Fanduel point game pretty easily. The one thing that sucked, Zubac, I played a lot of Zubac, and he was a dream killer because he started, and you want to start anyone against Okafor because Okafor is the worst defensive player in the freaking planet. Zubac only got 19 minutes, which was a damn shame. He basically played too well, and Luke Walton was like, you know what? If I play Zubac, we're going to win this game, and then he took him out. 19 minutes, 4 for 5 from the field, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks. He was great every minute he was in there. So I heard Magic Johnson wants Zubac to get 30 minutes a night. So I'm not sure why I only got 19 minutes. It made zero sense to me unless that you clearly the Lakers just knew they had to lose this game in terms of the standings. But it was a shame he only got 19 minutes because he's a fancy point per minute monster. Zubac he could be the next Jokic, Nurkic. I wish it was Zubic. He's got a lot of talent. In terms of Philly, Saric was a monster. Covington was out for this game. So Saric, 35 minutes, 10 for 20 from the floor, 29 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Jokic, Nurkic, Saric, Zubic, all the itches, man. The itches are taking over the freaking world. Okafor was whatever, 8 for 12 from the floor, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists because it was the Lakers. So he put up a good offensive line. Other than that, no one else from Philly really stood out. TLC, LaRawa Cabara, He started for Covington and 18 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. So if you played him, he was the minimum. Also, I saw a lot of guys play Holmes. Holmes only got 22 minutes, but Holmes is pretty good. Holmes is another guy. Holmes is a fantasy point per minute monster. He's better than Okafor in real life. He should get all of Okafor's minutes, and he should be starting. 22 minutes, got 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist, 1 block. All right, that's it. So that's the Dream Killers and Dream Lovers for Sunday night. All right, for Monday, where are we? Oh, all right. So somebody in my ear is telling me that Rusty Walker is ready to do this little NASCAR segment. All right, guys, so I have no idea what to expect here, so don't kill the messenger. But before we get to Monday's NBA slate, we want to check in with DG Courtroom's new NASCAR correspondent, and that's Rusty Walker. Rusty, are you there? Are you there, man?
Thanks, JJ. I'm here in Vegas for the Cobalt 700 Series. Woo-wee! Going for a treat tonight, as it's going to be a fierce race with some firecrackers on this beautiful evening here in Las Vegas. Ain't no snow in NASCAR, JJ. Shame about that blizzard coming your way. But no, time is short, and my grandmama's apple pie ain't going to stay warm forever. Let's get to my top value play for tonight's race. I'm going with my sneaky ninja pick of Cole Trickle from the motion picture Days of Thunder. Now, some of you youngins out there might be thinking Talladega Nights is the best NASCAR movie, but you'd be sorely mistaken. Ain't no one able to handle a car around racetrack like Cole. Now, why Cole, you ask? Cole's a tiny little man, and we need that race car to stay nice and light. Two, this is a restricted race. This is a restricted race, and Cole is an expert in drafting, which gives him a leg up on the field. No one has a pot to piss in against Cole. I watched Happy Hour last night, and Cole's last practice lap showed he has mastered the notorious Turn 4, which has caused more accidents than Aunt Shirley's famous stew. 4, this is a super speedway racetrack, and for you NASCAR newbies out there, that means it's over 2 miles long. Cole's known for being long, if you know what I mean. And finally, I know last week we saw Cole's car become loose as the race went on, but I spoke to crew chief, my cousin, Rusty Fowler, who assured me that issue has been resolved. So, there you have it. Cole Trickle, my DFS value player of the day. Bless your heart, and back to you, Judge.
Wow. All right. Good stuff, Rusty. I don't know why you're calling me Judgy, but I prefer Judge or Your Honor, Rusty. But other than that, pretty solid. And quite honestly, I like Cole Trickle as well this week. Great movie, super underrated. Also, that's where he met his first wife, Nicole Kidman. Little fun fact there. So you guys have to let me know what you thought of Rusty. I mean, he seemed to know his stuff. You got to give him that. All right, you got to give him that. We'll probably see him again soon to talk some more NASCAR going forward. But right now, let's get on to tonight's NBA slate. So remember, guys, we let the slate dictate who we play, right? And today we have an 8-game slate, but it's kind of a nasty, like sticky. It's a weird, like, slate. I'm not sure what to do with it yet. So we're in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the city we're on. We're in. Normally, that's kind of be too hot for the judge, but since it's going to be like a blizzard with 2 feet of snow, I guess I'll take it. So injury news for the slate. Frank Kaminsky still questionable with a shoulder injury. If he's out, Zeller, and man, probably one of the best players in the NBA right now, Marvin Williams, right? Marvin Williams, 2 straight games over 45 fandom points. Can he get a third? Can he? Dear God, it makes me sick. Jamari Carroll's questionable with the ankle. Nerlens Noel is still questionable with the knee. Malcolm Brogdon is questionable with the back. Kawhi Leonard, this is probably a big one for this slate. Questionable with a concussion. I don't understand if he's just in the concussion protocol or he has a concussion. If he has a concussion, you would think there's no way in hell he plays on Monday. So I don't know. You got to watch the news for that one. Tony Parker is dealing with back stiffness. So Patty Mills maybe again. Rudy Gobert is questionable for Utah, so that's kind of a big one as well. Wilson Chandler is questionable with the right groin contusion. Fareed is questionable or doubtful with back spasms. And Jameer Nelson is questionable with a right hip flexor. So the Denver guys, some intriguing plays there. Maybe Murray for Denver. If all those guys are out, Nelson, Chandler, and Fareed are out, obviously Jokic. And by the way, Denver, probably the best matchup on the slate we'll get to in a second. Jokic is probably a lock and load. Just get him in your lineups right now, especially for cash games. And a lot of those guys are going to be playing Murray, Gallo, Hernan Gomez, obviously Gary Harris, Barton. I mean, everyone from Denver. I mean, Jesus.
All right, let's take a quick little flight to Vegas. Talk over-unders. Our stay in Phoenix was so quick. So 8 games, and wow, there are 3 over-unders that are really bad. You got Dallas, Toronto, 197 over-under. Chicago, why does Chicago have to play again? Just forfeit all your games. Chicago and Charlotte, maybe the loser can just forfeit, and then the loser's out of me. What, the loser battling for the 11 seed right now? Chicago at Charlotte, 200 over-under. Man, a nasty game. Milwaukee, Memphis, two teams that both play slow and pace. I don't know. Well, how does this have a higher over-under than the other two games? This has an over-under of 201. That seems high to me for those two games or those two teams playing. Then you have Orlando, Sacramento, another disgusting game, 207 over-under. Then you have one over-under not even up on the board, Clippers, Utah. That's going to be like, what, a 203 over-under, something like that? So you have potentially 5 games with a 207 or less over-under. And you have, I didn't mention Atlanta, San Antonio. There's no over-under there. That could be low as well. So the two best games to attack by far, Lakers, Denver, everyone's in play here. I mean, and the good thing about now, we know every Lakers going to get minutes. We know Russell, Randall, and Ingram are going to get monster minutes, and Clarkson probably. All 4 of those guys, elite plays. And then for Denver, especially with their injuries, Jokic is probably the top play on the board. And then you got, you know, Murray's dirt cheap, Harris and Barton. Gallinari becomes a really good play if Chandler's out. And then maybe even like a guy like a Hernan Gomez. So, man, just fantasy gold there. Then Washington to Minnesota is the other really good game, a 214 overrun. Minnesota's been playing really good lately, and Washington has been like one of the best teams in the NBA the last couple months. You know, I love 3 things in life. Maybe 4 now. I love Dawn of Horizon. I love 5. I love Rusty Walker, our new NASCAR expert. I also love the Bailiff. I love pace, and I love usage. Really, there's really no team really playing up in pace. That's why you see all of the low over-unders. The only team playing up in pace is the Lakers, a little bit against Denver. And the Spurs a little bit against Atlanta. But other than that, there's really no team to attack in terms of pace. All right, let's hop into the plays at each position. So this slate is tricky. Not a lot of stars. No Westbrook, no Harden, no Cousins, no Anthony Davis. So in my initial building of lineups, I had a lot of money left over, and I was like, wow, just if I wanted to play anyone I want to play, you basically can fit them in. It's not hard on this slate, which is a rarity for an 8-game slate. So, and also, guys who were overpriced, it allowed me to get guys overpriced on this in my lineup pretty easily. So, it's a good segue for John Wall, because John Wall's overpriced. He's 10.7K. I don't want, normally I would not want to pay that. But because of this slate, he's basically a lock for 50 FanDuel points right now. And if he got me 50 in this slate, would I probably be okay with that? Yeah, I probably would be. Would that be enough to win a tournament? Probably not, but for a cash game, it'd be enough. Point guard, though, is probably still one of the best positions, so you don't have to do Wall, but still safe for all formats and stacking that Washington-Minnesota game. It's only 2 really good games in terms of pace, so obviously lots of players in that Washington-Minnesota game. And if you use Wall, feel free to correlate all you want and play some Beal, because if Beal hits 7 threes, 6 of them are going to come off John Wall assists. Chris Paul, 8.7K, so his price is down, but he gets Utah. I don't like playing anyone against Utah. If you can attack Utah, though, it is at the guard position. To me, he's going to find a way to get close to 40 FanDuel points. So I still think he's relatively safe play on this slate, but I don't want a ton of exposure. Kemba Walker, 8.4K. You can torch Bulls guards. The Bulls are a mess, especially they're a mess at point guard. I mean, MCW, Grant, Rondo, you pick one, and they all, and Cameron Payne, 70 pounds. He should be in the D League. He's so bad. Kemba's been tremendous. 40 FanDuel points every game since the All-Star break, I think, except maybe 1 or 2. And I think both of those were blowouts. So he's pretty much safe for any format you want right now, even though it is a low over-under. Mike Conley, 7.6K. Just a nice, safe play. Boring. Not a lot of upside here. I play a lot of him against Atlanta, getting some Dennis Schroeder defense, and he let me down, only giving me 32 FanDuel points. I think that's about his floor. So I prefer on this slate to get up to Kemba over Conley if you can, or go a little bit cheaper and play some Rubios. Rubio's 7.2K, safe for all formats. John Wall is a sneaky good defender. Sure, I need some water. I know I'm going to get a bad review saying don't sit water on the podcast. But, man, I can already feel it. My nose is getting stuffed. I'm telling you, man, that Uber is getting – I need to go. Can I sue Uber? I'm a lawyer. I should know that. Making me wait with the bailiff outside. What if the bailiff got sick? Then I would – man, I would go nuts. So cold out there waiting for that freaking Uber, waiting for 3-4 Ubers. But Rubio has been tremendous. Sorry, maybe tremendous a little too strong. He's been consistently good. He's been – his floor is like in the low 30s. His ceiling is so far – his ceiling's not great because it's like the mid-40s. But I love this Washington mini game, Minnesota game. A Wall Rubio is your two guards. That could that win a GPP? Maybe. That game goes overtime. You never know. And if I play Rubio, I will team him up with a guy like Towns for sure. But to me, safe for all formats on this slate. And the pace of that game, much better. So I like him better than Conley. Even though Rubio's got, you know, not, you're rostering him with a, and you know he has a low usage rate. Normally, I do not like doing that, but Rubio is one of the rare exceptions. Dennis Schroeder against the Spurs, tournaments only. Can't touch that guy in cash, even though the last – even it's Memphis. He put up 36 FanDuel points. I mean, like four of the last five games, he's been borderline, like, great. The problem is he needs to get 35 hit value. So maybe I shouldn't have said great. So he's basically been doing that. But I still – it's hard to trust, especially when Coach Bud will bench him really fast. He does anything wrong in the court, he's at the first Atlanta Hawk to get benched. So tournaments only or single entry tournaments. Alfred Payton, 6.9K against Sacramento. This is going to be a really slow, disgusting game. Payton, though, even with Vucevic back last game, put up 33 FanDuel points. And the problem is his price – he's priced up as if Vucevic isn't playing. So tournaments only at that price. He's still a Magic Mountain guy, even though he has been really good the last week or so. And he had, a game in the 60s, a game in the 40s. So he can he – if you're building – if you're a tournament player and you play multiple lineups, you're just silly right now if you don't have him in one of your lineups. He's also a really nice pivot off of Russell. So everyone's going to play Russell. Russell was 50% owned on Sunday. He'll probably be 50% owned again on Monday. Maybe not that. Maybe not 50% because it is an 8-game slate. But Russell's going to be chalk again. He's 6.7K. The usage has been tremendous. On Sunday, he just missed every shot he took. And I'm not sure if he's becoming a tin man because sometimes he looks just out of it on the court. I'm not sure if it's just if he's missing a shot, then he looks out of it. But if his shot's not falling, I've seen him just kind of turn into like a mini version of Paul George, just stand in a corner. Now, also tonight, Jordan Clarkson had it going as well. So maybe that also he didn't have to be as aggressive offensively. But otherwise, Russell, he's going to get 30, close to 35 minutes, and the usage is close to 30%. So 6.7K, very fair price, playing way up in pace at Denver in the altitude. Safe for all. I don't know if you want to do it in cash, but elite tournament play. George Hill gets some Chris Paul defense. I don't know. He's got that foot issue. He's got all kinds of injuries right now. Only 18 minutes last game. I don't know what to do there. Tournaments only. Jordan Clarkson. Normally, I'm not a fan of chasing points. But Denver, every Lakers in play. He's dirt cheap. It's because the good thing about him for Monday is his price didn't go up at all because his price was already out for Monday while he was going nuts on Sunday. So for his next game, he's probably going to jump up to over 6K. But take advantage of the price while you can. So he'll be chalk, but I don't mind it. Quite honestly, he's probably safe for any format. Ty Lawson, 5.2K, same price as Jordan Clarkson. Right now, I'm not just it's okay. I don't love that though. I don't even like that really. Other than that, you got Yogi Ferrell, a guy that I will be playing tomorrow is Corey Joseph, 4.9K. And someone asked me today, how do you know to play Jordan Clarkson? Or how would anyone know how to play Jordan Clarkson? Because I think I only played two lineups. So I did not have Jordan Clarkson. I had Tyler Johnson in one and Lynn in another, I think. I did have Damian Lillard, I think some other guard. But I mean, basically, there's no easy answer to that. And especially whenever I get like tweets like that, it's hard. I can't really tweet out a response to that in 140 characters, right? But I mean, the easy way to think about it is when you're looking at
all the players, just you should take special notice if there's two players the same price. And when you suit if or three players, or the, you know, they're on the same threshold. So on this slate, you look at that 5.2K price tag. You look at Darren Collison's 5.4K, Jordan Clarkson's 5.2, Lawson's 5.2, Yogi Ferrell 5.1, Corey Joseph 4.9, even Rondo's 4.8. So you look at all those guys and you say to yourself, okay, in that price range, who's going to be chalk? Jordan Clarkson. So who can I pivot off to? Like, which guy is it possible that could put up, that could score more FanDuel points or DraftKings points than Jordan Clarkson? So on Sunday night, you would have said the same thing because Jeremy Lin was chalk and also Tyler Johnson, right? And at that same price would have been Jordan Clarkson. And you would have looked at all those guys and you would have said to yourself, okay, Jeremy Lin's going to be chalk. Now, which other guy could I envision getting this, getting, you know, more FanDuel points than Jeremy Lin? And you, if you thought about it, you would have said Jordan Clarkson because look, he's getting Philly, TJ McConnell defense, which is disgusting. And Jordan Clarkson has been getting big minutes. He's been getting like 35 minutes the last two, three games. So is it conceivable that he could outscore Jeremy frickin' Lin, who's done nothing all year? Of course it is. So that's the kind of thinking you have to do if you're a tournament player. Now, Lin was still the better play on paper against a horrible Knicks team, even if Lin only got 28 minutes. But Clarkson should not have only been 7% owned. I mean, that was too low owned. Corey Joseph, though, 4.9K. Recency bias coming off a really bad game against Miami, only 9 FanDuel points. I don't know what happened that game. I watched only a small part of it. I'm pretty sure Miami blew them out. I need to go back and figure that out. As long as Corey Joseph didn't get benched at 4.9K, I'll have no issue going back to the well. Like, could he outscore Jordan Clarkson? The pace worries me, but yeah, he could. Patty Mills, he'll be in play. Dellavedova is, if Brogdon's out, I played Dellavedova, I think, in a lineup. I don't know, when was that, yesterday? Today? I don't remember. He gave me like 19 FanDuel points. At his price, you know, you can do worse. Shooting guard. So Giannis is 10.7K. His price went dropped down about $1,000. I think, or actually, not, I don't even remember. Was he 11.7K or was he, no, I think his price stayed the same. I can't remember. What is he on DraftKings? He's probably much cheaper on DraftKings. Giannis plays Memphis. Yeah, so he's 9.8K on DraftKings. Yeah, no, his price did not go down. So do I want to play Giannis against Memphis? No, I don't. No, thank you. Tournaments only. DeMar DeRozan, his price is dropping a little bit, which is good, 9.4K on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, he is 8.4K. Now, that's a price I can get on board with. Because he still has a 40% usage rate. Now, not a great game here against Dallas, but if he takes 30 shots, can he get me 40 actual points and close to 50 FanDuel points? Yeah, he could. So on a slate like this, I think playing DeMar is actually okay. Beal's price is coming up. Beal's 8K. The question you're at now is Beal a better play than DeMar? Probably. You save 1.4K. Obviously, DeMar's got a much better usage rate. But, you know, as I mentioned, I think I whispered on the last podcast, or I did, Beal's usage rate is higher than John Wall's. Like, I can't remember, like, exactly. It's hard to whisper when you have a hoarse voice. But Beal's usage rate has been higher than Wall's. At least it was last time I checked, at least at some point last week. I can't remember the amount of games, but it basically, what I want to say is Beal's usage rate is on the rise. Everything on Beal, he's the opposite of Jeff Teague. You know, it used to be the Indiana Teagues. Now it's the Washington Beelards. Is that right? No, the Bizzards. The Washington Bizzards. Beelards? I cannot figure it out, man. Well, Jesus Christ, it's going to drive me nuts. Maybe just the Washington Beals? Just how about that? That's easy enough. He's been the best player. Him and Wall have both been tremendous, though. But 8K is a fair price tag to pay against Minnesota. So I do think a sneaky pivot is playing some DeMar instead of Beal on this slate. But Beal at 8K, it's fine. The problem now is he does have to give you 40 FanDuel points to hit value. He can do that. To me, probably safe for all formats. He's been so good lately. D-Wade, tournaments only, and it's just a mess. I mean, does he have one – you would think that the Bulls got to show some pride at least one more time this year before they fade into the sunset. And you would think the same thing could be said for Wade. Could it be Charlotte on Monday? I don't know. It's a back-to-back. The good thing is they did play during the day on Sunday, so he gets a little bit more rest. But it's just if I play 10 lineups, I maybe have one or two of Wade. Batum is the better play. Batum 7.3K. But how you win a tournament, you see who's the same price, Batum and Wade. You play, you know, one lineup with Wade if you play multiple lineups, and you hope he outscores Batum. And you actually, what you do is you play Wade and you hope he somehow outscores Beal. I mean, is it conceivable? Sure. I mean, he could do it. It's still Wade. If he gets it going, he could put up 40, 45 fandom points. But it's unlikely. I do like Batum, though. To me, nice cash game play at 7.3K. Not tremendous upside, but he's turned it around. Last 3-4 games, he's been somewhat consistent again, so I don't mind that. Seth Curry's 5.9K. Last game, only 9 Fando points against Phoenix. That was huge letdown because he was in the Phoenix Dallas. He was in a great spot playing way up in pace. Only 3 points, 3 rebounds. I got to figure out what the hell happened that game. The minutes were still okay. So because of recency bias, yeah, I like that play on Monday. Should be low owned against Toronto. Other than that, Gary Harris gets the Lakers. So with all the Denver guys out, Gary Harris should be a if you want to use him in cash, I think it's relatively okay. I still am a little hesitant to go that route in cash, although I do see the Lakers, and they're banged up. He's probably safe for all formats. He's been really good. And I saw some stats today. I think he has like the highest shooting percentage, field goal percentage of any shooting guard in the NBA, which if that's true is pretty freaking amazing. I think he's shooting like 40 to 48% or something like that. Evan Fournier, I'm so tired of playing Evan Fournier in cash games. God, it's just so freaking exhausting. Looking at a stupid freaking Fando picture, I want to punch myself. Whatever. It's safe. You can attack Sacramento guards. He's probably going to stumble, bumble, and fumble his way to 25 Fando points. If you're nervous on what to do in a cash game, you can still do it. I don't. He hasn't flashed upside in a long time, which is annoying, but it's weird. He has not looked good lately. Tim Hardaway Jr., versus Spurs, tournaments only. Last game was really bad against Memphis for him, but that was Memphis, so don't look too much into that. Then you got Wes Matthews, 5.1K. He's fine. I mean, the thing about Wes Matthews is he always gets decent minutes because he's their defensive stopper. So hold on. I lost my place here. Where am I? There you are, Wes Matthews. So fair price. I would imagine they're going to use him to guard DeMar DeRozan, so he should see a ton of minutes in this matchup against Toronto. Safe cash game play, not a huge upside. Will Barton, elite tournament play. The minutes have not been there lately, so maybe I shouldn't say elite tournament play. Just also say tournament play. Rodney Hood, 4.5K. It's just the minutes. I don't know what to make of Hood. You can't trust him for cash games. He got me 30 Fando points against Houston. Then he got me 9 against OKC. So tournaments only. I don't know. It's the whole Utah team, man. I had the beat writer on here. It's just not helping us so far. But I do like Hood for tournaments. He's cheap. If he plays, the usage should be okay. So it's a fair price. Other than that, you got JJ Redick down here. I don't know. Small forward. So Jimmy Butler's 8.9K against Charlotte. He's just been really bad. He's been freaking awful. He hasn't hit value really since the Golden State game about a week and a half ago, and that was barely. He hasn't given you 50 fandom points since before the All-Star break. And actually, wow, January 29th was the last time he gave you 50 fandom points. That's a lot of games. That's disconcerting. So do I feel good to play with Butler in any way? No. With that said, will I play Butler in tournaments? I will. I absolutely will. I, unless they tell me something different, like he's out, he's injured. I do think his heels is an issue. But show some freaking pride, Chicago. So you can't love playing Jimmy Butler right now. But tournaments, can you still do it? Sure, you can. Gordon Hayward, 7.8K against the Clippers. The question here is, who's a better play between Butler and Gordon Hayward? Hayward's $1,000 cheaper. You can make a case that he's a better play than Butler on this slate in terms of price per dollar or price per point, whatever you want to call it. So Gordon Hayward,
He's fine. He's a cash game play, though. He doesn't really have the upside to help you win a tournament. Andrew Wiggins, he does have the upside to help you win a tournament. So he's resorted back to being pretty bad last four or five games. Man, so small forward sucks. That's my analysis. You want the judge's analysis? Small forwards, dream killer already. We don't even know if Kawhi's playing. If Kawhi plays at 9.3K, I mean, how many minutes is he going to get? Butler's probably still the safest player out of all these bums. I still go probably Butler, Hayward, Wiggins for cash. In GPPs, maybe Wiggins, Butler, Hayward. Chris Middleton, 6.5K. It's against Memphis, though. He's expensive. So I don't really love that either. My favorite freaking small forward play, as long as Chandler's out, might be Gallinari, 6.5K. To me, if Chandler's out, safe for all formats. Gallinari has not shown a lot of upside this year, but he stumbled and bumbled and fumbles his way close to 30 fandom points every night. So against the Lakers, he should smash. Harrison Barnes, just another boring cash game play. Maybe if you cash games, if you just want to play a boring lineup of Gallinari and Barnes, you can do that. And you got MKG, you got Bazemore, Terrence Ross. So Terrence Ross, we all keep playing him. At least I do. He was 7% owned last slate. He still played 32 minutes, so he's still 4.2K. That's dirt cheap. Obviously, don't use him in cash games anymore, but if he's making a shot, can he give me a 30? I still think he can. I still think he's going to help me win a GPP this year. I really do. So I will have Terrence Ross exposure. I mean, I'm stubborn, but I will play him because I know he's going to be low owned. Everyone's been burned by him, lost a lot of money. So I won't go crazy with him, but I do like a little bit of Terrence Ross. Brandon Ingram is 4K. Dirt cheap against Denver. So he's the last four games, he's given you over 20 fandom points. So pretty much a nice safe cash game play and a limited upside. Joe Ingles maybe also is in play. Power forward also is not very good. Jokic, just get him in. Just hit the plus sign. Lock and load in cash games. Also probably the best play for tournaments as well. He'll be super high owned. So if you want to fade him just to play the game theory route, you can do that in tournaments. Blake Griffin against Utah. I think Favors is out. I don't know if I mentioned that either. So I don't know who from Utah is going to be guarding Blake. Maybe they'll put Gobert on Blake. I'm not sure what they're going to do. So Blake could have a decent game against them. I don't mind that. 9.1K is a fair price. Obviously, Utah, it's going to scare people off, so he'll be low owned. Paul Millsap, it's a guy who I always play, and he always gives me close to 30 and 40 fandom points. And he never gets enough shots, and I never know why, because he's one of those guys. He's a better real-life player than he is in DFS. Usage rate's only 25% because Dennis Schroeder will not pass him the freaking ball. One reason why Dennis Schroeder probably gets benched a little bit. So Millsap, nice play, but against the Spurs, not an elite play. Fat Waffles, Julius Randle, safe for all formats, 6.5K. I mean, him and Russell, I don't like using them in cash games, but this is three straight games now where Randle's giving you 41, 31, and 49. So he's got a nice floor right now and a monster ceiling. So he'll be chalk, but you can do it. Marvin Williams, the greatest player in the world, 6.5K. So his price has come way up. If Frank Kaminsky plays, Marvin's been getting like close to 30. He got 40 minutes last game. He's not going to keep getting 40 minutes. So at that price tag, to me, it's a fade on this slate. It's a fade. If Kaminsky's out, I'll probably fade him anyway. If I lose because Marvin Williams goes off, I'm probably fine with that. Maybe I play him in like one or two lineups just in case. But I don't really want to jump on that bandwagon right now. But he's been great. He's been extraordinary. And this is why he was the original Tin Man, because you watch him play. When he came in the league, he was super athletic. You looked at him and said, what can he do on the court? He can jump out of the gym. He has a pretty good jump shot. He was a pretty good defender. He developed actually a little bit of a post game. He can rebound. He's a decent passer. But he's basically been a bust his entire career. So it's just he's been an enigma to me his entire freaking career. I don't get it. And then if you watch him play the last two games, you're like, yeah,
that makes sense. Where's that been? Just super frustrating guy. Serge Ibaka, 6.4K. Whatever. It's just a guy that never ends up making my roster somehow. And I don't play Dirk either. I know some of you guys play Dirk. I just don't do it. He's had two last three games giving you like 38 fandom points. Against Phoenix, he was great. So Dirk's probably a safe cash game play right now. I'm just going to look elsewhere. Zebo at 5.9K, you can destroy Bucks bigs. So Zebo's fine. The problem with him is another guy. He's more of a cash game guy. Doesn't have big upside. Aaron Gordon, everyone keeps saying he has upside, but does he? I don't know. I guess a little bit. I don't mind this play. The good thing about him, he's not going to kill your lineups. I think the price is fair. He should be able to have his way with Sacramento, at least score easily. The pace will be disgusting, but it's a fair price. So I don't mind Aaron Gordon. I wish he'd have a breakout game. And obviously Vucevic being back hurts him a little bit. It hurts his usage. It hurts his usage rate. I cannot speak at all right now. I'm very tired. Willie Cauley-Stein, 5.5K. Tournaments only. Can't use him in cash games, but he does have monster upside. So a nice pivot off of Aaron Gordon, Willie Cauley-Stein. Gordy Dang keeps losing minutes to Bielica, whatever that guy's name is. So Dang, I don't really play these days. The Bulls play 12 guys right now. So Bobby Portis gets 20 minutes. You can't trust that. Mirotić doesn't even play at all. Ugh, it's so depressing. All right, center. Towns, 10.5K. I love the Rubio-Towns pairing on this slate. This Washington-Minnesota game, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's be fast-paced. A lot of guys are going to put up big lines. No one can guard. Gortat's too slow, too old, too white to be able to guard Towns. So Towns should be able to feast. Just grab every rebound in sight. He's just too athletic for Gortat. Also, he can take Gortat on the perimeter. Just love that matchup for Towns. It's beautiful. Now, I think Towns is overpriced, but because of the slate, it's been easy for me to find the money to get him in my lineup. Marcus All, you want to attack Bucks bigs. So 7.7K, his price has come down a little bit because he's had a couple subpar games. I think he's a nice, safe cash game play. If you don't have the money for Towns, you can play Marcus All in cash games. You get a judge seal of approval. The guy who, for some reason, I cannot pronounce his name tonight, and that's Vucevic. And by the way, I think someone yelled at me for mispronouncing his name a month ago anyway. I think it's Vucevic or whatever. Vucevic. I don't know. Whatever. I say Vucevic. I think maybe it's Vucevic. Whatever. Leave me alone. It's 4:30 in the freaking morning. The judge is doing this show for you. Show some respect. Man, I'm tired though. So Vucevic is 7.5K. If you played him last game, he was coming back from injury. No one played him. I think I had him in one lineup. He put up 39 Fando points in only 28 minutes. I think I saw him in some winning GBP lineups. So I think his price was like he was priced down for that slate. So he's priced up a little bit, 7.5K. But that's a fair price. He's too offensively talented. So no one on Sacramento can guard him. And we want to play the itches, the Jokic, Nurkic, Vucevic, all the itches. So he's fine. DeAndre Jordan. If Gobert does not play for Utah, Jordan should have a good game. He finally came through against Philly because everyone destroys Philly, so he destroyed Okafor for 57 Fando points. I mean, Okafor is such a disgusting disgrace. He should be benched. Man, Okafor should be released. The worst trade in the world this year was trading Noel and keeping Okafor. Philly is, man, that general manager – who, by the way, did not just get – he basically got that job. The owner, David Stern, just gave him that job. Did not deserve that one bit. Nepotism at its best. I hate nepotism. I mean, if the world lives off of nepotism, if you look at all the guys in high and powerful places, how many actually earned it? It's so disheartening when you look at how many just did nothing to earn it. Look at the Lakers mess right now. And by Lakers mess, I'm at the Buss family. They didn't earn being owners of that team. And by the way, why is no one mad at Jeannie Buss? Why does everyone think she's the greatest and everyone's mad at Jim and Mitch Kupchak? Jeannie's the one who pushed for Kobe to get that contract. And that's why the Lakers stink. It's because they paid Kobe $50, $60, $70 million for 2-3 years when he was the worst player in the NBA.
And that's why they had the worst team for those 2-3 years. Whoever told them to sign Kobe to that deal, like, that's why they stink. And I'm pretty sure from everything I've heard of them, that was Jeannie. Like, why is everyone think she's so great? What makes Jeannie so great? I don't get it. Dwight Howard just doesn't get enough minutes, whatever, against the Spurs, 7K. Just is a boring cash game play. Plumlee, with Jokic back, you can't really play Plumlee anymore. The minutes are going to be down. Although you got 34 freaking Fanta points in 21 minutes against Sacramento. So I guess in tournaments you can. Gortat, maybe on DraftKings if you want to play two centers, you play Townsend Gortat. On FanDuel, he's cheap. So he might be able to help you out in a cash game. Valanciunas, 5.5K. Probably not the best day to play him. Don't see him getting a ton of minutes. Cody Zeller, if Frank Kaminsky's out, Zeller should be a nice cash game play. Hasn't been great the last few games, but he'll find a way to get you around 20. And then and Zubac, I'm going to go back to the well in tournaments and use Zubac. I do think Lakers are going to, you know, after they got this nice loss out of the way, maybe they can afford to play well in Denver. If he gets 30, 35 plus minutes, he should smash. I want the Zubac-Jokic matchup, and I love Zubac on the slate. Probably tournaments only, though. That's it. We made it through. All right. Woo. This is it's a weird slate. It's eight games, but with like 5-6 disgusting over-unders. So tread carefully. Also, like I mentioned top of the show, it's a hard time of the year. A lot of the people have stopped playing NBA DFS. So only the best players are left. If you find yourself been losing a lot lately, you can play less. There's no shame in that. No one will know. I won't tell anyone. So if you've been playing like normally, what, $20 a night, play 10. Now, if you've been dominating, then obviously keep playing your normal amount. But just be smart with your money. Always just remember, it is important to be smart and bankroll management and those things that obviously just don't get crazy. All right, that's it. Any questions? Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. I got to get to bed. All right, that's it. For the bailiff, for the judge. See you guys back tomorrow. Court is adjourned.